want to remind you that on April 17th, coming up here in just a couple weeks, we are going to have our Next Step class. So for those who want to be new members and those who want to be a part of Next Step, we'll have a sign-up sheet out there on Sunday so you can be a part of that. Praise the name of the Lord. And then we do have an evangelist, Mark Dunphy, coming in the month of May on the 27th.
He's fired up. He's ready.
He's all excited Amen. About coming here. Praise yes. God. Even if I feed him bad lobster bisque, he's going to come. And even if we take Miss Regina
Y'all know the
out,
lobster bisque story.
Ooh, they don't need to know it if they don't
no.
know.
No, Chad's saying he don't know. Kevin oh, Chad says, uh-uh. My friend KC says.
Mm. Go ahead.
Okay.
Tell him
so,
my bad lobster
so
bisque
Phil,
story. Hurry up.
So Phil wanted to take him out to eat. He was here for a little extended time. So he wanted to take him to this restaurant. I hate this restaurant. And I'm not going to say the restaurant name. Amen. But I don't like it. I don't like their food there. And so Phil takes him there because they have the best lobster bisque in the world. Mark Dunphy lives in Maine. You know what
one
Maine
the,
is famous
lobster
for?
Capsules.
Lobster and lobster bisque. So he's taking Mark Dunphy to a restaurant to feed him lobster
in
bisque
Ohio.
When he gets the freshest lobster and the best lobster bisque in the States. That's all I know. And so he takes a bite of this stuff, and he just kind of moves it to the side. Mark is so sweet, he wouldn't say a word. He just moves it to the side. But I'm not as sweet as Mark is. So I looked at him. He tried to not let Phil know he didn't like it, but I wanted Phil to know he didn't like it because he took me to this restaurant that I didn't like. So he pushed it to the side, and I said, "You don't like it, do you?" His face started to get red, and he had to admit that, well, it tastes like they put a little turpentine. You guys know how Mark talks.
Turpentine
in there.
And it's about 3 weeks old. Hallelujah. So that was his...
Response. So never take a person who has the dish, the best they could ever get it, to a place that offers it in a different state. It don't work that way.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Don't work that way.
I just love it when you get to tell your stories. And you just
listen, you've been telling on me a lot, Mr. What you said.
Hey, that's right.
Yeah.
If you'd give me better emails, I wouldn't have to tell so much on you. Praise God. But anyhow, I think at this time, we're going to let those children get going. Hallelujah. And then for all the rest of us, we have a powerful, dynamic couple with us that
Amen.
Are our partners in the faith and a part of our extended body of Christ. Amen. We love them. They love us. So Pastors Billy and Don are here from Murfreesboro, North Carolina. Amen. And, they didn't know this when they headed this way except for I'm sure the Holy Ghost had put them on notice, and he made the mistake of letting me see that he had brought a suit jacket with him. Praise the name of the Lord. And so as soon as I saw that, I knew that what the Lord was telling me was true, that tonight I'm going to let them minister to us. So the first thing we're going to do is Pastor Dawn is going to come up here, and she's going to take up the offering. Amen. And then we'll have Pastor, come on, you're fine. Head on up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then we'll get to the next step afterwards.
Hey, everybody. Hello. Before I start with the offering, I want to tell you how beautiful your church is. This is the first time I've been in it. I'm so excited. I couldn't wait to see it. I've been seeing glimpses of it on Facebook, and it's beautiful, wonderful. Okay, I'm going to read from you from 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 1. One day, the wife of a man from the guild of prophets called out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You well know what a good man he was, devoted to God. And now the man to whom he was in debt is on his way to collect by taking my two children as slaves." Elijah said, "I wonder how I can be of help. Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Nothing," she said. "Well, I do have a little oil." Verse 3. Here's what you do, said Elijah. "Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all your neighbors, and not just a few, all you can get. Then come home and lock the door behind you, you and your sons. Pour oil into each container. When each is full, set it aside." She did what he said. She locked the door behind her and her sons, As they brought the containers to her, she filled them. When all the jugs and bowls were full, she said to one of her sons, "Another jug, please." He said, "That's it. There are no more jugs." Then the oil stopped. What I wanted to point out in this is the oil ran out after the last vessel. The number of jars they gathered was an indication of their faith. God's provision was as large as their faith and willingness to obey. So we need to beware of limiting God's blessings by a lack of faith or obedience. When you give tonight, I want you to listen to what God's telling you to do and be obedient. Lord, we thank you for this evening, God. We thank you for the opportunity just to be in your presence, God. We thank you, Lord, that it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to come and sit at your feet. And God, I pray right now over this offering, Lord. Lord, we pray that it would just be multiplied, God. And Lord, I pray for the ones that have to give and the ones that don't. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sometimes we just are moved by the Holy Ghost. And I promise you that just like we had a great offering message and such a good word to put into our spirit, I believe that Pastor Billy has something in him that the Lord wants him to deliver to us today. And I just believe that we need to get our faith ears open. You know, the Bible says that we can see and hear in the natural. But the Lord says that I want you to hear in the realm that God wants you to hear. And I believe that the Lord, as you open your heart tonight, supernaturally, he's going to be speaking and putting things in you. And God is just here to touch your life. Amen? So, Pastor Billy, I want you to come forward and give us what the Lord has in you, brother.
Hallelujah. Have you got an awesome praise team or what? I'm going to just testify that Pastor and Pastor Regina asked me when we arrived, is there a special song that you'd like our praise team to do? And there's one that pops in my hand every time that I hear it. And even when I hear the song on the radio, I hear OBM Kenton singing the song. I don't even hear how it's, and so I never told them what the song was, and when I heard the lineup for the night, that song was in your lineup, and I just want you to know that even your praise team hears from the Lord. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you a few minutes about your identity, who you are. It's probably the biggest thing that's transformed my life in the last several years. I've been saved, backslid, been saved again. Was a children's pastor for 20 years, my wife and I. And when God changed our makeup a little bit, he put us working with adults, which I said I would never do. I can handle kids, but the transition has, and God's grace has allowed me to minister to adults, and it's just been such a blessing. But in that transition, what was key to me was who I had become. And that who I had become was who he had destined me to be all the time. But we have trouble in the church today as Christians when we don't receive that who we are. When the perception of ourselves becomes what the world has told us year after year after year, we take on that ownership by default because we don't fight it with his word. So tonight we're going to talk about Peter and Jesus, and we're going to go to Matthew 16. And I just want to show you a couple things here. It's a very familiar scripture. It's the scripture where Jesus asked Peter, who am I? And he tells him who he is. And I just want to bring out a couple things tonight before we adjourn. I want to, if you have an identity crisis tonight, I definitely want to pray with you before we leave. So I want to have time for that too. So Matthew 16, starting at verse 13, it reads like this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am the Son of Man am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So tonight I want to ask you this question, and I'll probably ask it again and again, but who are you? Do you really know who you are in Christ? First of all, let's look back up in 13 and 14 when Jesus asked Peter and the disciples who the people said he was. And they said he's John the Baptist or Elias or Jeremiah. The people's perception of you does not dictate what Christ says you are. Elias was set in time by God for a specific purpose. His lifetime, his time frame. Jeremiah's the same way. John the Baptist the same way. All set in time for a specific thing. And so have you. Jeremiah 1:5 says that I knew you in the belly before you were formed. He says that indicating that he must have known our spirit man before he knew our flesh man. If you go back to Genesis and look at Genesis, it says he took dirt, he formed Adam, he formed a man, and then he breathed life into him. That spirit life. And so there's a design appointment for each and every one of us. And they had theirs. But that's not who Jesus was. They were set in time for their specific purpose. But Jesus was time. He's before, he's in the middle, and he's at the end. He covers it all. On the cross, it was all done. So let's see here. At 15, He saith unto them, but whom ye, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want you to understand something tonight. For you to understand who you are in Christ, you have to know who Christ is. I was saved and serving God, but I still didn't understand fully what was going on. I still had no perception of exactly what Christ had done and the power that he had given me. And he's given you, all of us, the same thing. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Peter gets his identity. In verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven. His carnal mind, his fleshness, couldn't identify him that. That he couldn't let, he couldn't gain that knowledge from his flesh. Because spirit and flesh are constantly at war with each other. Flesh would not recognize that Christ was the one. Your flesh hinders you from you knowing who you are. In verse 18, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When Peter got an understanding of who Jesus was, then he got an understanding of who he was. And 19 is the cool part to me, often left out, I think. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. With your identity comes your authority that you walk in Christ. And in 19, in verse 19, that power is given to us and recognized. I didn't understand that I could speak to my body and cause it to come in line with how God created it. I didn't understand that I could now be in front of someone else and speak into their life and cause their body to line up how God created it. And all of us have that ability. But unless you understand who the Godhead is, and until you get that straight and then understand who you are, you cannot walk in that power. You won't walk in that power. And there's so many people in our churches today and outside our churches today who are walking in what the world has dictated for them and are miserable. Their gifts and talents and abilities are being used outside the kingdom because they don't have any concept of what Christ has done for them and what they can do for the kingdom. And whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, we get to use Christ's authority to bind those things, to cast them out, and to loose Holy Ghost in their eye situations. Now, I was brought up in a home where I was constantly trying to please because of the expectations that were put on me. And so I didn't ever measure up. I was always trying. And because of that, because of some of that worldly stuff, I had an identity crisis. You know, my self-esteem was, didn't have any. And constantly trying, everywhere I went, constantly trying to please everybody that was around me. And then when something happens, oh, it was my fault. You know, I done it. But that's what the world puts on us. That's not promised in His word to us. In fact, the contrary. You get to approach the throne with boldness. You don't have to go. Boldly, you get to go before the throne. There's a transforming of the mind when it comes to understanding who you are. And my prayer tonight for you is, if you are struggling with that, did that be broken off of you tonight before you leave this house? There are people all over the world that we come in contact on the daily who struggle with this. And because they've been put down constantly all their life. My sister's boyfriend has never had anybody tell him he done a good job. He's never had anybody stand up for him. Never. I even told my dad, I said, nobody has ever gone to bat for that boy. Nobody. And as a church, we need to make the difference. We need to make the difference. So, Lord, right here tonight, right here in front of your people, God, if there are people, God, or ones who struggle with self-esteem issues, God, or even being ashamed of things in their past. God, right now we just want to be able to minister to them and for them to experience the freedom that we talked about before we started service or at the start of service. Lord, as we begin to understand who you are, what you've done, and now our role, because we accept that, who we get to be. God, I want you to break that off of people tonight in this house. So I'm going to just call if you, Pastor, I don't know if I'm out of line, or I'm going to just call if you suffer with anything along the lines of what we talked about tonight. You know, maybe you've, maybe you had it at home like I did. Or maybe you suffered it in a relationship outside of home. I expect somebody to walk out of here tonight with that mess broken off of them. Amen. So if that's you tonight, I'll just meet you right down here. If you're a lady in the house and don't feel comfortable with me, I'll ask my wife or Pastor Regina to come or Pastor Phil to come, however you need it. However we can meet your need tonight.
Jesus, you paid it all. You paid it all. I declare I'm free. Cause Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall, fear. Right here.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Discovering our identity. Amen. Knowing Him so we can know who we are. Listen, I want you to know that God has ignited some flames tonight. I saw healing coming upon people. Just people being washed free from things that no longer need to be a part of who they are. Amen. I'm telling you, these are times of refreshing. And I'm telling you that the Lord has released something in us. I want you to know that that's what I love about the resurrection. It wasn't something that just happened in a day and stopped. It was the floodgate opening so that things and people and all of us could be transformed. Amen? So tonight, I'm telling you that the Spirit of God has been moving upon us. There's been a refreshing. There's been healing. There's been identity, discovery, and restoration. And I'm telling you that we need to just let this rest in us and continue to grow. Amen? And we're going to step right into what God is doing. I'm telling you, I believe that the Lord spoke to me and said over these next 50 days, just like in the time of Pentecost, times of refreshing are coming into your life. Answers are going to happen. Restoration, vitality. I'm telling you, there's just going to be joy and things happening. I'm telling you, mark your calendar, because I promise you that in the next 50 days, you're going to look back and say, man, I've had some things happen that have just been refreshing to my spirit. So thank you guys again for coming and being here tonight. Amen. Praise God. And I want you to go and be blessed and just continue to let the Lord saturate you. Let His presence saturate you. Don't just quit with what you've received here. Even when you go home tonight, say, Lord, I just want Your presence to stay on me. Just refresh me, restore me, ignite me. Amen? Amen. Yep, watch your thoughts. Fight the thoughts that would come against your identity. And just say, nope, this is who I am. This is who I am. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you. God bless you. We look forward to being with you in just a couple more days. Amen. Hallelujah.